that you probably don't know is that there is a prayer room, and we have people to come all week long and pray at different times. If you're interested in that, that's where we put a lot of the more intimate prayer requests and things that maybe people don't want shared with the church. And so those prayer requests go in there, and so she leads that, and we could always use more people. I think we only have like 8 or 9 in there, and so maybe if you had a lunch break or a time that you could come and pray, we'd love for you to be a part of that ministry. And I know sometimes people don't know that's happening, but it is, and I'm thankful for those that come in and really pray over the requests that you send us. I want you to think about this and remember that these words are the words of Jesus. And I don't know, and I'm going to be real, like, I'm just emotional today, and I'm trying not to be. I think it was the ladies' fault because I had to take 6 kids home. That's why I don't let y'all ladies have a lot of activities, because then I have to watch children, and I just don't know if I signed up for that or not. But can you believe she said to me the other day, am I allowed to say this? Probably not, right? She said to me the other day, I said, honey, I didn't sign up for all this. And she said, well, you should have been single. I said, now, babe, I said, at 6, I can use that excuse or say that at least once in a while, right? I mean, if I were saying it at 1, that's different. But when you get to 6 and you say that like once a year, right, am I allowed to say that once a year? No. Okay. So anyway, she said no. Oh, gosh. That's my birthday, so I can say, well, I'm just kidding. I can have what's it called, a pass today. But what I want you to think about is that these are the words of Jesus. And it's significant. And something that really hit me is the first statement here that Jesus throws out. And that is, end when you fast. Did you feel conviction right there? Come on now, when's the last time you fasted? And I don't mean last year when we as a church fasted. What's significant is that already Jesus just assumed that the people what? Fasted. And I've read this passage, I can't tell you how many times I've read through Matthew, not bragging, but I have read through Matthew over and over and over again. I've read these words and other over and over and over again. And this week the Lord said, Pastor, and when you fast? How often have you fasted, Pastor? Not enough. And I do. But not, I don't think, the way that he was speaking to his people. And so as you think about fasting this week, this is to spur you on. What we do today and the challenge we send you out with is not just for this week. I was convicted, and I hope today that your heart will be convicted to lean into prayer, which is really to lean into Jesus. So Jesus assuming to the people that he was speaking to, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. God, today we come before you. And God, we just stand in all of you. I stand reminded weekly, of how many more steps I need to take in drawing into you. And so today, use me as just your mouthpiece, as your vessel. Allow these words to be your words. God, allow us to understand that prayer and fasting is an avenue to understanding your heart, to being more like you, and most of all, to properly hallowing your name. So today, bind the hands of Satan in the name of Jesus. He's not welcome here. God, I pray if there's any remnant in this place or in a heart in the people right now, that we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We cast it out, and we pray today, Lord, that your purity and your goodness and your greatness would fall on to this place through your Spirit. So we trust you in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. So let's just talk about fasting here. And here's the thing that I'm going to challenge you with. And please, okay, understand if you have health issues and you have reasons that you have to eat a certain amount of time and things like that. I was especially convicted this week that here specifically, no matter the translation, he was talking about abstaining from food. I can't get away from that, and so I don't want to interpret it in a different way so we feel good about fasting from Facebook or other things. But here's what I would say to you. In your personal life, or maybe you can skip a meal because of health or whatever it may be, they are good substitutes. But I don't want to lie and say Jesus was saying fast from. Now, some of you may need to fast from some things that are consuming you, okay, and are taking your focus and your attention off the Lord. But that's not, this happens every week, that is not what Jesus is referring to here. And so please know that, okay? And I'm going to kind of focus on the food. And I kind of set you up last week because you need to understand the way Jesus speaks. He's speaking in a way that people would understand. Our spiritual relates to our physical. We covered that last week. And so everything about the physical relates to the, and Jesus said a lot of times that what? You cannot live on bread alone. Last week in second service, I kind of went further and talked about probably my greatest struggle is eating. I eat when my nerves are up. I eat when things aren't going well. And then sometimes I just eat because I like to eat. I grew up in a family that everything centered around food. When we got together with all of my Italian relatives, it was all around the kitchen. I remember all the mothers, they would stand around the kitchen, give input, argue. I mean, it was just how it happened, and it was normal to me. And we would all eat these enormous meals, and it all centered around food. And then we would start on the desserts that everybody brought. It's just how it was. And so I learned that early on. And I kind of confessed that in second service last week, that my struggle is that. But what I want you to understand here is that he's relating this to the body. And so let's talk a little bit about fasting. Fasting happens through relationship. If your relationship with Jesus is not strong and solid, there's no reason to start fasting. So, see, what happens is you put that before the strength of the Lord is in you, and you can't do it, so you're unsuccessful, and you begin to get on yourself. Because you've made it about you and not about the Spirit of God coming in and giving you strength and connecting with you. See, I hear people tell me, well, I tried and I fasted and I'm like, oh goodness, the cart is before the horse. See, Jesus has to be intimately connected to us in order to fast. Now this week, all we're going to challenge you to do is one meal. Most of us probably each week skip a meal at some point. But I'm talking about if you take it further and say, okay, I get what Jesus is saying. Well, relationship has to come first. We also know that fasting has to do with what is done in the secret. Now, this is different. Many of you share with me when you're fasting, hey, pray for me. But I never hear you say any more about it or speak it to anybody else. That's different. It's okay to get a team around and say, hey, well, I'm going to go before the Lord in this way. Pray for me. But if we go before the Lord in fasting and let everybody else know that we're, it's secret devotion. Also, the relationship with the Heavenly Father, as described by Matthew, describes an inward purity that results in transformed acts of devotion. There should be a product. I'm sorry. There should be a product that is birthed out of fasting. Just some facts to get us set up to understand this. Here's a couple of things. Now, last year we did it a little bit different. Our guide is a little bit different, as you're going to see. But what I want you to get first is that before we request anything, what does Jesus teach us to do? To honor the Lord. To recognize our place in His kingship. To humble ourselves. To really say, hey, without you, I don't know where I would be. I don't know what I would look like. This is so pathetic. I got a text from someone this morning from my family in Jersey, and she said something, and it like really touched my heart. And I said, like, you really mean that? Because you have no idea how I really feel about myself and how far I've come. And she lived with me through that. Not in lived with, but she walked with me through that, and she was like, oh my goodness, absolutely. See, we've got to understand that if it were not for the Lord, we would not be who we are today. And if you're not okay with who you are today, then move yourself out of the way, get the distractions out of the way, and start looking into your heart with Jesus. So first, we recognize our place. Second, we call on His holiness to guide us in His Spirit. What do you mean call on His holiness? You know you're not holy. The Spirit of God is holy in and through you. See, some of us in the Christium, we believe we're holy. And so we walk around in that way. But church, without Jesus, without us calling on the holiness of God, without us calling on the Spirit to be with us, without us daily calling out to Him. When I drive to work, I spend that time calling out to God. And it seems the older I get, the more I do it. Before I get there, Lord, please, because I'm human. And I'm not always going to say or do the right thing. See, and also we have to understand that if we are connected to Jesus, then this is the first step in the battles that we face. When a battle comes your way, a fast should follow. If you really want what it is that He wants for you. And when you fast, you allow Jesus more space than He had before. So let's go through a couple of things. The definition here, I know I already said it, but I want to review it before we get into these three things that we're going to focus on today. Today we're talking about abstaining from food. It's affecting the physical so we can affect the spiritual. It also means to turn your full attention onto those things dealing with the spiritual. So meaning during that time of fasting, you are consistently and constantly turning your attention to the Lord in prayer. Just a quick review. All right, you ready for all this? You got your papers out? No, you don't. You don't have to lie to me. You got your phones out. You can write some notes. Think about this. Fasting, we reviewed this. Fasting makes way for holiness. See, here's what happens. When we begin to go before the Lord, when we begin to feel, okay, because here's the thing about fasting, we should feel something physically so we respond spiritually. See, that's what fasting is. As the hunger pains come, we're just being literal, right? We should turn to the Lord. That's a time that the Lord is drawing us in and saying, here I am, call on me for strength. See, here's what happens. What we do is we begin to take our attention and place it fully on the Lord, meaning even our physical needs. We're saying, God, I need your Spirit to come and work in this way. I need your Spirit to fill me in this way. And all of a sudden, His holiness, His mindset begins to move in to our hearts. And what does it do? It makes way for a breakthrough. See, when you start looking to Him first, when you start calling on His holiness, when you start saying, hey, I'm not able to, when you start saying, I need you, when you start saying there's no way but through you, see, what you're doing is you're making room for Him to come in and say, hey, Joe, think about this. Respond in this way. Go in this direction. See, and all of a sudden, He begins to speak. He begins to move. See, many of us right away won't do a fast because we say God doesn't speak to us audibly. I don't know. He kind of spoke from the beginning. He is a speaker. It says in the beginning that He spoke life into, that He breathed life into. Jesus spoke a lot of words. So if He's not speaking to you, then just pull your Bible out and get the red letters, and that's Jesus speaking to you. And then maybe as you focus on those words, you might hear some things. See, when other things are out of the way, it makes room for other things to come in. Fasting is the humbling of the soul, which is the core of who we are. Yeah, it ain't your heart, your mind, your flesh, your physical, your blood. See, fasting moves into the soul, which is what we get to hold on to for eternity. So, I guess the first question in this is, are you willing to allow breakthrough to come through by humbling yourself before the Lord and letting His holiness come in? Second thing about fasting, it allows for change. So we go from a breakthrough. Well, breakthroughs are great, and then there's change that comes when there's a breakthrough. See, what happens is, and this is what I think we think, we like the idea of God changing our circumstances, but we don't like the idea of God changing us. You know, most of us pray for what? Our circumstances to change. That's just being real. I can't tell you how many times a week that I pray for a circumstance to change. And I think if we were all honest with ourselves, we'd probably raise our hand and say, hey, I'm with you. And we should. But maybe sometimes when we're in an act of fasting, the Lord's looking to us and saying, it's time that I change you. Here's the struggle that we're having with Janae right now. And, I share this, she's not here, but the struggle we're having with her right now is that she says to us, why doesn't God just, if He's all powerful, then why doesn't He, if He's what you say He is, then why doesn't, if He says He, then why doesn't He stop evil? If we're going to pray for this, then why doesn't, and then we go into that whole conversation about free will and how God gives us the ability to exercise our free will, which sometimes means that those that are living out the enemy's purposes get to exercise their free will on us. And you know what? That's hard for a now 11-year-old. But why doesn't God just stop it? Because, see, honey, if God stopped it in them, He'd have to stop it in, and then all of a sudden we would just be under a dictatorship instead of under a love relationship. And so maybe after the breakthrough comes, He's going to look at you and say, okay, now it's time to make some changes. Because sometimes circumstances aren't going to change. And that's hard in our faith journey, because it affects our faith. It affects our willingness to believe. When we meet Jesus, we will be changed. And maybe today you're afraid of that change. You know, in the church, we struggle with change. Society, it's so strange. It moves so fast. Change is so quick. I feel really old today at 42, but I feel like in the last 3 years, we have changed in society more than I've seen in, I think, the last 20 years. And maybe I'm just old-fashioned or whatever it may be, but it feels like everywhere I turn, everything is changing so rapidly. And I don't know that it's rapidly drawing into Christ. I think sometimes we have to be okay with change so we can continue to serve and share the message of Jesus Christ. The third thing, fasting makes way for God to be hallowed. They say, where do you get this from, hallowed? You know, hallowed is actually a very biblical term. It's very important. Jesus tells us to hallow His name. How do we hallow His name? Well, we make room for the Holy Spirit to come in. Then we make room for change. We change as directed by the Lord, not by others. And then all of a sudden, we are now honoring God, which actually biblically is hallowing His name. We're living out like what He's calling us to be in that moment, and we are honoring Him in that, and that is hallowing His name. And see, what happens is fasting cleanses us. It sets us apart. It purifies us so that God can be hallowed in and through us. As we become pure, God is hallowed. As our thoughts shift more and more into this direction of really being intimate with Christ in a way that changes us, in a way that others say, what's going on with you? Something's different. As we become pure, God is hallowed. All right. So a couple of things I want you to think about while you're fasting. You don't have to beg God for what he already died for. What do you mean? Don't go back to him about your salvation. He wants to move forward from that. He already died for that. You received him, or I hope today that those that are sitting in front of me have received him. If you haven't received him, then you need to ask the Lord into your heart. God died for that. Where you've been with him, don't go back there. Because he's not going back there. Maybe somebody else has taken you back there. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And say, I'm no longer there. He's moved me from there. It's why I was shocked today with my family member that sent me that message. I thought, well, you know, she's from my past. Like, why would she? And those things are over. That spoke to me. God wants to say to you today, don't make your fast about the past. Unless the past ain't dealt with. He tells us our sins are where? You remembering them, but he ain't. You're bringing it back to his mind. Well, God, don't you remember when so-and-so just reminded me when I was... And then you wonder why God didn't speak to you. Because you and him already spoke about that. We will often stay stuck in an explanation of why God is not manifested in us that lacks faith. But God didn't work here, so why would he work now? And so the enemy takes that, and our fasting is useless because all it is about that didn't come to be. Why not give that under the mystery of God? Because we don't know everything about him. We don't know why he does certain things and why he doesn't do other things. I think as a mature Christian, at some point we just have to say, okay, God, you've got this. Now, if we're living in disobedience, we can figure it out why we are where we are. But if you're not living in disobedience and you don't understand why, and you were living out the fullness of that moment, then I think we have to let go, right? Fasting allows the sanctifying influences of the Holy Spirit loose on the heart. Isn't it nice to think about the Holy Spirit loose in you? Whew. You start to think about food and you go back and say, God, here I am. What are you trying to say to me? What if during that time those hunger pains are just the Lord coming in and speaking to your body so you'll speak to him? Come on now, this is where fasting gets deep. When I fast, I say, Lord, let me be reminded so that I'm reminded of you. And think about this, because this is actually where Jesus was headed. We as the holy people of God are to be to others what our Heavenly Father has been to us. People who restore and renew. So when you come out of a fast, you're ready to help people be restored and renewed. Whew. So that tells us the problem is fasting isn't all about us. In fact, none of our journey is completely all about us. And the last thing I want you to think about, because here's at the root of why fasting doesn't work, why it keeps us disconnected from the Lord, why we come out of it and say, nothing's changed. Sometimes we're not in it long enough. Sometimes we don't feel it enough. That's just the overall. But think about this. Toxic roots are unaffected by the message of Christ. Why? Because toxic roots in our heart and our mind have to be eradicated before the holiness of the Lord can come in. And so when we have toxic roots and we don't let the Lord pull them out, then holiness isn't loose in our... We are not allowing, and I don't know if you know, but I used to say 52 to 53 days, and I found out this week that a habit now in the United States has moved to 63 times in a row. That's a lot, right? meaning you have to think the same thought for 63 times in order for that to become a common thought. It used to be, but now we're getting worse because we're letting our minds go more, right? And the enemy's got more control, so it's even harder now as Christians to transform our hearts and our minds. And I think it's because there's so many influences out there that are not affecting us in a healthy way. So if you want to take a toxic root and get out of it, every time that thought comes back, you have to rebuke it. And then when you receive it, you have to go back to number one and wait 63 more times before it's no longer and the root is. So many of you said, well, forget it then. I'm out of here. I don't need to fast this week. If I say God meets all my needs, here's I was listening to somebody this week and they said, you know, we sing these songs about I surrender all and yet we actually are lying. You know, there's times if you were to watch me, which you can, I won't sing it. You say, you're just crazy. It's just a song. No, the Lord spoke. The Lord calls us to speak. And if my mind ain't right and I'm singing I surrender all, but I'm holding on to, I shouldn't sing it. So you don't like this kind of preaching. I'm just being real. You won't see me always sing because some of these songs are deep. And our worship is a confession to the Lord. Our worship is actually all we're going to do in heaven is fall down and worship Him. And so, if I say God meets all my needs in a song, then all I do is complain, then you don't believe it at the root. It sounds good, but it is actually not good. See, fasting hits the root. Because when we step into a fast, we say, okay, God, here's the root. I'm going to pass it on to you, and then I'm going to get started. I'm going to deal with this so that I can deal with you, and you can deal with me. Church, we got to stop saying things we don't mean, we don't believe, and we don't live out. Just be quiet then. Because see, what you say, you're going to be judged for. It's not that I'm chickening out, but there are times where I need to get the root, get everything out of the way, and say, okay, let's have a breakthrough. Let's see change, and let me hallow your name so that what's happened to me, I can do in. Looking at Mike Cooper, one of my greatest, for those of you that have been a part of men's ministry, one of my greatest desires for the men's ministry at the Church of the Nazarene in Anderson, Indiana, is that you all would learn how to disciple each other. I know what most of you guys are going through. But you know what? People around you that are men, good, godly men, need to walk that journey with you too. Discipleship's hard because we don't want to talk to somebody else about the root that doesn't look like Christ. But see, that's not how he tells us to work. In the New Testament church, they got together before baptism. You know what they did? And I'm going to keep saying it. They confessed. They loved. They supported. They surrounded in prayer. They took a lunch, not because they were going to watch other people, because they knew about the root inside themselves. And so when they went to baptism, they put their lunch down and said, we got to work on some things. I've got to confess some things so that when I step out of here, you can journey with me in that. So, you said, this doesn't make any sense because this should go at the beginning. Well, I ended it this way because before you can really get intimate with Jesus, you've got to be honest with Him. And then you've got to be honest with the people around you. I was just honest with you. No, I won't sing all the songs. And there's some verses where I shut up. There's some verses that you are singing that you shouldn't be singing because you're saying it in worship to the Lord along with all of heaven and everyone else on earth on this day of worship. And if you don't mean it, don't say it. See, what happens with fasting is that He wants to match what we mean, what we say, to who He is. That's why we don't like fasting. because we get a little afraid of what it might actually mean and what it might actually call us to. So there's a guide in the foyer. We're not going to end with an altar call. Mine's a little messed up, but there's a guide in the foyer. I'll straighten this out. That you can pick up at the door. There are keys there that tells you the date and which meal. You may want to take two. You may want to take three. But I would encourage you today to, at some point, grab your flyer. It gives you kind of a simple prayer guide. This year, I put an area for you to write notes. Write in there your expectations. Write in there the route that you're asking the Lord to. Write in there your hopes for. I don't know. Maybe write in there the product of. That's an area for you to write. Here's some just things for you to pray over, pray for. But if you would take that, the keys are out there. If you would take one of those keys to just remind you, because the key to your intimacy with Jesus is prayer. It is not today. We can't sustain on today. Today is an encouragement. It's a coming together. It's a sending out. But it isn't it. Prayer. Prayer begins everything. See, as we get intimate with Jesus through our prayer life and fasting, we want to know more about this. See, what it does is it drives us into. And so I'd encourage you today to go back there at some point, grab yourself a key, hold on to it as a reminder, and remember that prayer and fasting is the key to the Lord and His heart and His desires and His mission for you and your family and your neighborhood. And so I'd encourage you today. And you know what? If you've got a journey with somebody, then call that somebody up and say, hey, I know I've never shared this before, but I need to be able to be honest and real with you. And would you pray for me in this? God, we come before you this morning. And God, we thank you for these words that came directly from the mouth of Jesus, which I'm learning more and more are so significant and so deep and come with so much. But today, we're doing a little bit of a different send-off, and that is sending us into a week of prayer and fasting so that we can see you clearer, better, and so that we can move some things out of the way so that we can be better salt to the world. And so I guess the prayer that I have this week is that out of this prayer and fasting time, that we would be better salt, not only to ourselves, but to those around us. We honor you. We love you. We pray that your protection would be on the people as they make this commitment, that you would protect them, that you would engulf them with your presence, that you would engulf them with your ways and your word, and God, that you would just do a mighty work in and through them this week. And God, we ask most of all today that as they step into this journey, that you would protect them, that you would put a hedge around them, that you would send your angels, your spirit to protect them today and in the days to come. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great, great morning. Saw Satan fall like lightning.